back to Not a Single Bother with me, Aislinn Dowling. Hope everybody is well, especially everyone in Sydney right now. We're still in lockdown, but that's fine. I'm also very happy for everyone at home in Ireland because they look like they're having a fucking great time. It looks like it's back to complete normality. I know it's not complete normality, but it's looking like you're having a better time than we are. And you're probably like, yeah, well, now you know how we felt. Yes, we do. But anyways, I hate fucking talking about COVID. I know my last episode I was talking about it, but I'm done. I'm fucking over it. I'm sick of it. I know everybody else is sick of it. I've said what I said. I think what I think. But yeah, that's all I want to say about that, because that's not why you come to listen to this podcast, is it? No. Anyways, hope everyone is well outside of that. And on this week's episode, I'm very excited to introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, her. Roberta Harrington. So Roberta is from Budavent in County Corkig. So she's actually from where Dennis is from. And she is the cutest, nicest person. And in this podcast, we are chatting about her business, Shop Bobby. So she originally studied in UL and was a teacher for a while. She studied PE and Irish. And she just had a change of career. She just felt it wasn't for her. So we're chatting about her changeover from stability to stepping out of her comfort zone and doing something that makes her happy. Shop Bobby is, you'll hear me talking about this in the episode when we get into it, and you'll hear Roberta tell her story about what Shop Bobby is. But basically it's about healthy foods, like really nourishing food. She has unbelievable recipes on her Instagram and on Shop Bobby. She is a yoga teacher, and she has loads and loads of other aspects to health and fitness and a healthy lifestyle and everything like that. As well as that, she talks about her previous past eating disorder. So she suffered from bulimia, and it's the first time she's ever talked about it openly on a platform like this, or just in general publicly, I suppose. She's never talked about her bulimia before. Thankfully she has overcome it, and she's done a complete 180 and she's at the other side of it. But she is very open and honest about her struggles and how she got through it. It wasn't easy, obviously. She suffered for about 4 years, I think. So it was really, really, really insightful to listen to that, because it's something that isn't talked about enough. And Roberta even said that herself. Eating disorders are kind of pushed to the wayside for some reason, even though they're a huge, huge issue among both girls and boys and both men and women. But I suppose particularly women. Anyways, it was really, really interesting podcast episode. I actually really, really enjoyed it. Not that I thought I wasn't going to, but I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected, I suppose. She's just, does that sound bad? I don't mean it to be bad. Anyway, she's so well spoken and she's so cute. And if you want to check out her Instagram page, her full name is Roberta Harrington. Her Instagram page is Bobby by Roberta Har. So if you want to check out all her recipes, everything like that, what she gets up to, her website also, will be in her bio. So if you want to check out her website, Shop Bobby, and get involved in her membership page and maybe partake in a yoga class and just see what she's all about, really, you can get it there via her Instagram page. So I will also leave her Instagram page in the description for this episode. So yeah, sorry, I've completely waffled on there, but I will go straight into it, and I hope you enjoy the episode. As always, rate me on Apple Podcasts. Give me a little review if you have time. I'd really appreciate it. It makes a lot of difference. And yeah, tell all your friends, tell your family, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, Roberta. Welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for coming on. What's the crack? How are you?
Thanks for having me, Aislinn. I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be on. It's good to have a chat. I've been looking forward to it now all week. So, I'm good. No fear of me.
Right. So to get started, I suppose, just tell me a little about yourself, first of all, and tell everyone what your crack is.
So, my name is Roberta, and I'm known to most probably at this stage as Bob or as Bobby. And I just turned 26, and I'm from a lovely place called Liskeardin, just outside Bodafont in North Cork. So I'm the youngest of four girls in our family. So as you can imagine, very, very busy household, plenty of chaos, but we wouldn't have it any other way, really. I suppose between Mam and the four of us, we're always saying to Dad like that he's blessed amongst women, but I think he prefers the term cursed than blessed now, to be honest. But so I moved from Bodafont then, or moved up from Liskeardin to Sligo 2 years ago. And I love the West, but equally I always love going home as well. So get really excited every time I go home. And I started my own food and yoga business then last year, aptly named Bobby. And it's been a hectic year for sure, but it's been a very enjoyable one as well. I love yoga, I love the outdoors, I love staying active, and of course, completely obsessed with food. So yeah, I suppose that's a little bit of a breakdown about me, myself, and I. I actually would have been in primary school with Ash, for anyone that's listening, I would have been in primary school with Ashton's boyfriend and in secondary school with Dennis. Literally is a stone's throw over the road for me, so it's gas how everything works in cycles.
I know, yeah.
It's a little bit about me, myself, and I.
So before you started your business, you actually studied, you were in UL and you studied as a teacher, am I right?
Yes, yeah, spot on. So I graduated from UL in 2017 with a Bachelor of Science in Physical Education in Irish, and that was a 4-year course. And like Ashton, I absolutely loved the course. I loved my classmates, the subjects individually, but it became very apparent to me, and I think it was second year school placement, that while I loved the subjects individually, I didn't really love the teaching of them, if that makes sense. Yeah. And like, it wasn't something that I tried to fight. I pretty much just accepted that the possibility was there that, you know, I may not be a teacher when I graduate, and I just let the next couple of years work themselves out.
Yeah.
Like, I partied a lot in college. I had a great time, but I worked hard too.
Yeah.
Sure, look, didn't we all?
Didn't we all,
like, I always loved school. I loved studying and homework and research. And I would have spent plenty of time in Smiths and Icon, Molly's and all the rest as well.
But
I still went to college every day. I still loved the course. I worked really hard at it. But I wasn't putting myself under pressure to be a teacher at the very end of it as well.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you know, when I was in fourth year college, then two of my good friends and I, so Jack and Connor, we ran as a trio for the Students' Union, JCB, so Jack, Connor and Bob, and we were all successful in getting into SAME as well. So that meant that I spent the year 2017 to 2018 as the Deputy President Welfare Officer for UL Students' Union. And like, that was an incredibly diverse role, and it was one that allowed me to focus on aspects of student life that I was most passionate about as well and most concerned about. But it was also the year for me that solidified that I didn't want to be in a classroom, which was interesting. I suppose it was a really diverse role, one that allowed me, like, no 2 days were the same. I loved the fast pace. I loved, you know, just the flexibility in the role as well. And yeah, so I suppose from there it solidified that I didn't really envisage a future in the classroom. I still gave it a go, and obviously I still needed to figure out what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to be a teacher. I just didn't know what specifically or what route I wanted to travel. Yeah. And I spent a little bit of time finding myself, you might say, and trying to figure it all out. And I have by no means the whole thing figured out yet. Like, every day is still, you know, just trying to embrace every day, not trying to have too many plans down, because I feel like just the last 16 months have been a year where, you know, even if you had plans, they were just like gone up in flames. So I'm just trying to live very presently at the minute, take each day as it comes and see where it takes me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, nobody, especially these days, nobody can really make plans. Absolutely. You must have been really nervous though to make that change. And were you nervous to like tell your parents or anything like that about making a change from teaching?
It's funny, like, because I feel like everybody else was more nervous than I was, which is hilarious. Like, I think I just learned to back myself over the years, if that makes sense. So, like, stepping aside from teaching and starting the business was something that I backed myself with from the very beginning. Like, nothing in life is final. If it worked out, excellent. And if it didn't, I have hopefully a long 80 more years ahead of me to figure it all out. Like, you know, there's no rush in in trying to, you know, have this perfect life and make sure that everything works out as seamlessly as possible. Like, I think the minute that we start to put pressure on ourselves for something to be perfect, that's when we don't allow ourselves room for mistakes or even failure. And like, that's when we stop ourselves from learning and from growing. So for me, it was all just about working hard at something I was passionate about, doing it to the best of my ability. And like, if and when mistakes happened, to take the time to reflect and learn from them into the future. Like, that's what's most important for me at present, is to accept that I will make mistakes, that like, this is all a learning curve, and just allow myself to grow. Like, I think for anyone, obviously, like, coming away from teaching, like, you're coming away from the stability of a paycheck, of a salary, of like paying into a pension, all of these things. And like, for anyone that fears a lack of stability or taking a risk, like, do you know, taking that risk of maybe starting your own business isn't what's for them. But there's a whole load of people who love taking a risk, a whole load of people who love just riding the wave and seeing where it'll take them. And I'm probably the latter. So I am that person that maybe I'm not too caught up on stability as of yet. I'm lucky that I don't have kids, you know, I don't have to have, like, now is the time to take the risk, essentially, I would say.
So
I wasn't all that nervous. Obviously, like, I was stepping back from real stability and I suppose the, you know, the real stability that goes with teaching. But, you know, ultimately I was kind of propelling myself into something that I was more passionate about. So I just kind of forgot about the risk, left it by the wayside, and just rode the wave, essentially, and see where it took me.
Yeah, like, sometimes it's not worth the stability. Like, if you're not happy, you're not happy. It doesn't matter how much typical stability, that, you know, like, grand, you'll have work forever, like, depending, but like, most of the time, yeah, you would, because they're always looking for teachers and stuff, and you'll have your summers off, and it could have been easy, but
That's the thing. It's not that I hate teaching, it's that I feel like my heart wasn't there. So I would have spent 2 years teaching. I spent 1 year down in Cork, which is home, and then I spent 1 year in Sligo as well, and like, I enjoyed the school environment, and like, I loved being around the kids, and like, it was great craft, and I just felt like I was going through the motions and that my heart wasn't there. And you know what, Ashton, I'm like, you spend how many years of your life working like, in a professional capacity. I'm just like, I feel like it should be something that we're really passionate about. And I know that you know, working on something that you're passionate about isn't a priority for a lot of people. For most people, it's about stability, it's about being able to pay back your mortgage, it's about being able to put your kids through college, and that's absolutely fine. But for me at present, it's about working on something that I'm more passionate about and just stepping away from the stability side of things.
No, I'd be the exact same as you. Like, I, stability doesn't massively appeal to me. I suppose I'd rather be doing something. I've always been like that since I was, you know, in secondary school, and we had to, you know, fill out the CEO forms and all that. Like, all I ever wanted to do was something that I enjoyed. Like, I wanted a job that I enjoy. That's kind of, I suppose, why I'm doing this. Not that it's paying me at the minute, but maybe at some
stage. I was just going to say, like, you know, even something like starting your own podcast, like, obviously there's a risk in it, and obviously there's going to be nerves and there's going to be excitement and those butterflies in your tummy. But like, you would probably all of this planned out in your head before it ever came to life. And I think when you can see that, and when you can envisage it and imagine what it can be, then like, there's no excuses. Like, you just need to go ahead and do it, because you're always going to be living life then. What if, like, what if I started a podcast? So like, I think, so fair play, like, it's no easy feat to go out and just like have a new venture. Like, obviously there's always going to be opinions. People will always think this is right, that's right. And I think ultimately you just need to go with your gut and do what's best for you, because like, you know, we're going to live through life with people having opinions on what we do. And it's whether you choose to give a shite about their opinions or not is basically like the end of the line. So yeah, I just think fair play as well. Like, your podcast is, you've just reached over like 10,000 listens. Is it called a listen? 10,000 listens.
Listens, so downloads, whatever. Yeah.
Downloads. Yes, that's the word. I was like, come on.
No, but I'm always like, what word do I say? Do I say listens or say downloads? I don't know. Anyway.
So well done. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thanks so much. So how did you find what you wanted to do? Like, how did you you've obviously always had an interest in food and yoga and all that, so that's obviously what drew you to get into that type thing.
Of course, yeah. So like, I would have always been, you know, really passionate about health and well-being and about food as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have grown up in a house that was sporting mad. I'm the youngest of four girls, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. and like, we were gone 7 nights a week between football, camogie and soccer. And I actually often wonder how mum and dad had a chance to come up for air looking back, but anyway. So we all played football in camogie with both club and county underage, so it was definitely a balancing act, but like, we knew no different as well. Our lives revolved around sport. We didn't know a life outside it, and I suppose a life in sport is a life where you're looking after yourself as much as you can.
Yeah.
You know, sleep is important, rest is important, food is important. So like, I've always just had this, you know, life to me has always been around looking after myself and putting my health and well-being first, and having goals in place and trying to reach them. So I was very lucky, I feel, to have grown up in a household whereby like, we were always given a home cooked meal, whether it was from mom or from dad. Like, dad can cook as well, which is excellent. You know, there was often a night where mom was working late and dad was doing the cooking, and it was still a home cooked meal. It wasn't, yeah, a case of let's go to the chipper, mm-hmm. let's get takeaway. That was never the case in our family. So I think I've been very lucky that I've grown up knowing what health is, knowing how to look after my body, and like, putting good routines and practices in place around that.
Right.
So like, for me, like, I had a very, very solid foundation, and I feel like I feel like I'm very lucky to have that as well. And I think just the year that I had down in UL as a DP welfare, like, I worked so closely with so many students, and it was just that year really that solidified to me how lucky I was to have had such a stable background, to have had such a stable upbringing, and to know what health is, to know how to look after myself. Like, even just to be able to say like, that I had the confidence to go to the gym, which wasn't the case with so many students.
Yeah.
To be able to say that I could home cook a meal, which again is not the case with so many students. And even just things around social health, around like, you know, hygiene as well. Like, I honestly feel like I was just given a really, really good opportunity to know right from wrong in terms of health and well-being. And it's always been something that I've been passionate about. Like, it's always something that I've kind of thrown myself into the deep end in, and it's always something that I've been curious about as well. So like, yeah. I'm constantly reading up, I'm constantly doing research about everything from the mind to the body to food. Like, I'm obsessed. Like, and I think that obsession has stemmed from the really solid foundation that we've had as young kids. So like, I think then, in terms of how that kind of has brought myself, or brought me to where I am now in terms of working with food and yoga daily. Yoga for me was a little bit more of a late bloomer in life. So while I've always loved working with food, especially healthy food, just playing with ingredients in the kitchen, I think, mm-hmm. for yoga, that came a little bit later in life at a time when I was maybe feeling a little bit lost. I think at the time when I took up yoga as well, it was like becoming a fad. People were doing it because, oh, they knew that there was lots of health benefits, but
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it was kind of trendy to be going to a yoga, yeah, class as well, which I still maybe think is the case nowadays as well. I still feel like it's still in that trend, you know. It's especially, yeah, after lockdown, I feel like everybody's after taking it up, which is fantastic. But yeah, so I just feel like the yoga came a little bit later in life at a time when it was becoming trendy. My practice for the first while was definitely very sporadic, and I actually hated it at the very beginning. I remember like going from, so you can imagine going from like playing a football game, like the adrenaline, the rush, the sweat, like just the constant, like the constant even mental movement when you're playing a game, like reading the ball, just constant communication, to this quiet space where you're left with your own thoughts. When you're like, it's just really calm, it's really peaceful, but it's only really peaceful if your mind is peaceful. And like, that was something that I struggled with for quite some time at the start of my yoga practice, was actually just being with my own thoughts and like coming away from, like, or just trying to learn, I suppose, a really different style of movement and of activity.
Yeah.
So to me, exercise had always been around busting a gut, like literally running until you're falling down. And like, yeah, then yoga like preaches and practices the complete opposite of that. It's about working within your limits, and it's about you know, taking time to to kind of check that and see what it needs on any given day. So yeah, at the beginning I hated it. It was a slow burner for me, and then I feel like I worked through a wall almost, and now I'm just obsessed. Obviously I teach it.
Yeah.
I did my teacher training last year, and it was all very organic. It was all very progressive for me in terms of yoga, but I'm glad that I did push through that wall, because for so many people, they'll give yoga a go for a couple of weeks and they'll say, no, I'm just having none of it. But for me, like, I hated yoga for over a year. So I'm like, if you can just push through that initial wall, that barrier that's showing up for you, great things can happen. Sure, look at me now, literally teaching yoga full time.
I know, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I was just saying to give it a chance, basically. But yeah, so I feel like food was there with me from the beginning. Always loved working with ingredients, playing in the kitchen, burning more things than I should have been. But yoga was definitely a late bloomer for me then.
So what is Shop by Bobby for people who don't actually know what it is, and what do you have to offer people?
Yeah, so Shop Bobby is basically it's an online website, and it's actually kind of threefold, I suppose. So the first is a place where you can place your order online, and mm-hmm. that is a click and collect service that I run across Mayo and Sligo, and I would offer healthier treats, bakes and granolas. And then secondly, it is a space to get lots of information about my yoga classes and courses, and to book online as well. And thirdly then, Shop Bobby is a members area, basically. So it would have a lot of exclusive recipes, access to a whole range of different recipes, from brunch to lunch to snacks to desserts, everything in between. And there's also a lot of really good blog posts there as well. So even yoga postures, do's and don'ts, you know, different challenges within yoga. Mm. And I'm also starting a new guest area as well. So getting some really well-known faces to write different blog posts about something that they're passionate about, you know, their line of work. So it's not just going to be food and yoga focused. It'll mm-hmm. be across everything, really.
Yeah.
So it's, to me, Shop Bobby is threefold. It's the yoga, it's the recipes, and it's the click and collect area as well. So the giving of the goods as well. So yeah, the shop in itself would provide healthier treats, bakes and granolas across Mayo and Sligo. And I would, you know, do a lot of gluten-free and dairy-free snacks and treats as well. So yeah, that's been fantastic. Like, I suppose I started, this has all been very organic. Like, it's funny, this was never like the plan. I never had a plan, I suppose. Right. So I started sharing recipes in January 2020, just on Instagram and things mm-hmm. like that. And I had started an original web page then. It was bobbybyrobertaharrington.com, I think. And the web page actually just expired a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, memories. But so I would have started sharing recipes in January, and you know, as I started to share them, I would have made a lot of power balls and baked oats and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, people were asking, where can I get my hands on these? Like, where are you selling them? You know, would you consider selling them? And I was like, oh, maybe I would. So it was very organic. Like, that's where Shop Bobby essentially came from, was just a demand for healthier treats, I suppose. Like, there's definitely way more of a range now in shops, I think, but it's always best, or it's always good to know that it's homemade, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
And definitely, especially just the gluten-free, you know, the gluten-free options as well is obviously a big seller. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people now who, you know, have been diagnosed celiac or whatever, like myself, or for some reason are following a gluten-free or a dairy-free diet. So I think it's important that there's good choice for that cohort as well. It's really important.
Yeah, because it can be very hard for people to find nice gluten-free things. I hear a lot of people say that like, my aunt actually eats a lot of gluten-free foods, but she finds them, she just doesn't like them. Like, they're just not as nice as normal things. So
I think there's definitely been huge developments and progress in that area. Like I said, even I remember before, you know, for me to have a sandwich or to have like, even to make brunch in the morning and to have my toast, my eggs and my bacon, like the toast wasn't something that I would be excited about. It was just more serving the purpose of being a base. Whereas now there's an amazing brand over here. I'm not sure if you can get it in Australia, but it's Promise Gluten Free.
Right.
They're a Donegal based company. And like, honestly, it is just, the quality is second to none. Like, you don't feel like it's gluten free bread.
Yeah.
And I think that's always been the issue, is that there's been like a gluten-free standard and then a regular standard, and mm-hmm. they've never met.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, I'm honestly blown away by the the quality of Promise, and they do like lots of different stuff like burger buns, brioche rolls, they do cakes and treats as well. And I just think it's amazing to see things like that coming to life, because they're obviously meeting a demand. There's been a demand there for so long. So I just think it's amazing now that like I can get excited for the brioche buns and just feel like it's serving a purpose, for God's sake. But no, there's definitely been great developments, even in the lines of pastas as well. And a lot of like good treats and a lot of different chocolates and even things like wafers and stuff. There's some really, really good stuff. And like, it's nice for people as well, because, you know, shops have really kind of stepped up too in terms of, say, Super Value or Centra. They have like a very specific health food aisle, which would have all of the gluten-free foods together. So it's been lovely for the consumer now to be able to kind of enjoy the process of buying gluten-free foods a little bit more, because it was always just very wishy-washy. There was no set space within a shop. It was kind of like fending for yourself and, you know, check the ingredients list at the back. Whereas now it's a way more seamless for the consumer, I would say.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. How do you consistently create new tasty, healthy recipes? Because you always have amazing things on your Instagram. Like, me and Dennis are always sending your recipes over back to each other when we're at work. We're like, we have to make this one. This looks class.
That is guess. Yeah, so I suppose, like, I just love playing with ingredients. I would say I'm a very naturally creative person, and I love coming up with weird and wonderful things. Like, sometimes they'll work perfect, and sometimes they don't. It's about giving myself that breathing space to fail or to make mistakes, and again, like, learning from it. So basically, when I'm creating new recipes, I have my trusted recipe book here. It's in the kitchen with me constantly, and I have my biro as well. And as I start to work with ingredients, I'll put them into the oven at a particular heat or whatever, and they'll come out, and I can either say, you know, once they're cool and taste tested, I'm like, right, that's perfect, or else no, let's make a tweak. So it's just it's constantly like back and forth, right, I like this about it, but this could be changed, and let's go for round two, let's go for round three, round four. And like, the thing is that some things will turn out perfect on the first one and you're like, oh, thank God, like, amazing. And then other things will need a lot of work, I would say, for my savory food especially, that I would do a lot more tweaking, because I'm always very critical of savory food. I think a lot of curries and stir fries and things, I feel like there can always be more flavor. So I'll definitely do like a second time, a third time, a fourth time. But I think for the baking now, especially, I have got way, like, my eye has gone way better. Like, I would have a general idea before it was ever to be baked, or, you know, before it was ever to be chilled, what it turns out like. So I would say a lot of mess in the kitchen, a lot of ingredients, and pen and paper, literally keeping it very simple. But that's the thing, like, is it, not everything works out, like, not everything turns out perfect. Now, I don't like food waste, so I'll eat it anyway. Sometimes it's disgusting, but I'll make it for it. I'd have Fergal eaten all weird and wonderful things here. I'd say he's like, okay, what am I eating today? So I had great fun with it. Like, you know, I just, some days you go in with no plan. You'll see what's there. Like, I remember before I made a carrot and coriander red, and I couldn't get over just how amazing it was. I was so blown away, and it was the first time I made it. And like, it came because there was literally nothing else here. There was coriander in my fridge. There was carrots in the fridge. And like, it was brown rice flour. So there was literally not even like oats or anything to make it with.
Yeah.
There was brown rice in the press. So I blitzed that up to form a flour. So like, sometimes just, it's, I would say, almost a happy accident. They'll come. Come as an accident, or as a result of nothing else being in the house. So
that is actually brilliant. What struggles would you say that you have faced since starting your brand outside of COVID?
So outside of COVID, I would say, like, for myself, it's been challenging to know when to go further, like, to take a step further. Like, everything that is involved in the business I do myself. So like, from the website to the cooking, the delivering, the packaging, like, everything is me. And, you know, sometimes it's been overwhelming in that sense, because, you know, I literally like burn myself out, and then I'm like just wreck tired for a couple of weeks. And it's tough going, like, I'm not gonna lie. So I think I've been a little bit better since things especially have started to open up, like during the summer with COVID and stuff, like I'm being a little bit better to myself and saying, no, Roberta, you're actually off this weekend now, you're not doing ACT UP, like, no.
Yeah.
So I think it's been, that has been probably one challenge for me is like trying to have a good work-life balance, because I think when anyone is self-employed, you'll always feel like there's more to do.
Definitely, yeah.
And when you have that mentality, you'll probably push yourself beyond a line that can sometimes be very hard to come back from in terms of building up your energy and building up the love for what you're doing again. And I think that's important for me, is that I keep that love, that I don't reach a point whereby I'm like, okay, Roberta, like, that's it, I can't do this anymore. So yeah, that's definitely been a challenge for me, but I think I'm getting a little bit better, and I'm trying to practice what I preach a little bit more, because I do practice what I preach. I'm always like, yeah, find that work-life balance, take time for you, you know, get your movement in, get your steps in. And then there's days where I don't even do that, like I don't have time to get my steps in, I don't have time to go for a walk. So I'm definitely learning to practice what I preach a little bit more, and just take some chill time when I need it, take some Roberta time when I need it, and not feel sorry about doing it as well.
Exactly.
But other than that, like, I think what I kind of started on and I rambled off, but knowing when to take the next step then as well. So for me, I'm working from my HSC, it's food safety approved, the kitchen here at home, and I'm very lucky that it's massive. Like, everything would have to be stored very separately. So home and work is very separate. I have my packing area, I have my ingredients cupboard, I have like my full utensils and equipment shelving as well. I'm just looking out at them all here. And like, for me to kind of go any further and to start stocking maybe, you know, shops or cafes and things like that, I would realistically have to either hire someone or move to like a commercial sized kitchen. And I haven't done either of those steps yet. I haven't hired anyone and I haven't moved to a commercial kitchen. And I don't know when the time is right. So I feel like sometimes like a challenge for me is knowing what's right. Like, sometimes you'd love just somebody to bounce ideas off and to be like, right, well, what did you do in your business, or what did you do? And I suppose I have reached out to a couple of different people, all who have been really helpful, some in the line of food, you know, but everyone really essentially having their own business. And just like, it's been lovely to be able to have that soundboard and to be like, Jesus, am I doing this right at all? Like, you know,
of course, yeah.
So that's definitely been challenging to know, like, when should I take the next step? But again, we're in COVID times. I haven't been putting myself under pressure to make that decision. I think once things start to, when things seem a little bit clearer in terms of how things are going, I think that's when I'll start to really, you know, put pen to paper and say, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm. And how has COVID impacted you and the business, and how have you adapted your business around it?
Yeah, it's funny, Ashton, because like, I don't know a life outside of COVID with the business, because it started during COVID.
Yeah.
So to me, it hasn't impacted it at all. Everything that I started out doing first day was with COVID in mind. So like, the whole click and collect idea was started, it was born because of COVID. Like, it was click and collect because I didn't want to be meeting people, like farmers markets weren't on, which is something that I love, farmers markets. So again, it might be an avenue that I might travel, but like, I don't know a life outside of COVID, to be honest. So like, I would say in terms of everything that I do, like, you know, the click and collect, meeting people, obviously, like, you're cognizant that you don't want to you don't want to make people feel uncomfortable, that you'll give them their space when they're collecting. Even everything through packaging and stuff, I would, you know, obviously, like, the highest of hygiene standards and everything are met, and that's important to me. But yeah, I would say that I don't know a life outside of COVID. You know, Shop Bobby was born with COVID in mind, so I'm thankful in that sense. I haven't had to do a huge amount of rejigging.
But sure, that's absolutely unreal, like, that you started it in COVID and there was no bother to you. Like, if anything, you're flying it and you're improving all the time. And other people are like, you know, you'd expect COVID to really affect your business, and normally people would actually be scared to even start something in the middle of it, but it was absolutely no bother to you. Fair play to you. So you've really blown up since you began, and you're still growing and making such good progress. But what was it like going out on your own, and especially putting yourself out there on social media in order to grow your business? What was that like for you?
Yeah, so the social media, I think, was It was definitely a little bit nerve-wracking at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I did say that I'd always back myself, but I think social media is a whole other ballgame. Like, Jesus, you actually, like, and but the thing is that for me, from the very beginning, social media has always been a very positive experience. Like,
yeah.
There, like, I have not received one unfavorable message from anyone. Like, everyone has been so supportive, or like people like commenting under posts or sharing posts or sending on pictures of, you know, recipes that they've recreated. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, it has been a really positive experience for me, and I know that I'm lucky in saying that. But you know, rewinding back to the very beginning in January 2020 and posting my first recipe, like, I was a ball of nerves. It might have been like, it might as well have been my wedding day, actually, yeah. Honestly. And like, I think once I got over that initial first post, or even over the initial handful of posts,
yeah,
I was like, right, this is grand. Mm. And then I suppose once you get over the posting,
yeah,
it then comes to the point where you need to start talking on your stories. And oh. Again, it was just like getting the first one done.
Yeah.
Like, just get it done, like tick the box. And like, I'm sure that if I was to ever go back on my memories and actually look at the first time that I spoke to the camera, I would be cringing. So I'm not going to do it.
No, same, but, like, though.
It's funny. It just kind of comes with time, doesn't it? Like, is it, yeah. Now, if I was to pick up the phone and talk into it, like, I wouldn't even bat an eyelid. Like, there's no nerves. Like, yeah. I'm sure Fergie's just used to me talking to my phone at this stage. And like, oh, here she goes again. It's like second nature now.
Yeah.
But social media has been an incredibly powerful tool as well. Like, as I said, it was as a result of, you know, that demand from people to get the products, having shared the recipes first day, like, essentially social media has been the reason that my business has been born.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's been a very, very powerful tool, and it's been about, you know, it's been a great tool as well to be able to converse with the consumer and say, you know, what are you enjoying here? What kind of recipes would you like to see? What kind of things would you like to see in the shop? Oh, the web shop is open this weekend at 6 p.m. These are the products available. So it really has been like, I would be lost without it. I couldn't,
yeah.
have imagined the business being born without it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy it now. I love creating content. Like, I'm always here, like, making reels and just even putting together different posts and stuff. And I really do enjoy it now. Like, I feel like it's such an integral part of the business. So, like, by me posting a recipe, I would say, that's not me doing that from a personal viewpoint. That's me doing that as part of the brand.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say I would put up a lot more like brand focused posts, like, you know, recipes and all that, rather than personal posts. So it's been trying to get the balance right as well, being like, yeah, look, this is my page, this is Roberta, but it's also like the business and it's the brand. So it's about being, you know, just trying to get the balance right and strike a balance between both. But no, I love it. I love social media. It was definitely dodgy at the beginning, but now I'm just like, you know, it's part of the day.
Yeah, it can definitely be daunting anyway, like coming onto the camera and all that. I know it, like the first time I talked into the camera, I think I made such a big deal out of it. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, nearly had a panic attack when I posted the video. I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God, what am
literally
I doing?
Literally, take number 25.
Yeah. 100% saving them, looking at them, like, is that grand
yeah.
now? Am I looking weird? Oh my God, stop. But I know that lots of people in businesses, like, must be so nervous to do it. Like, because, you know, it's not for everyone, but it's so important for small businesses. Like, in this day and age, you just kind of have to do it.
Definitely.
So.
Definitely. Yeah. And like, I even looked at different businesses who definitely aren't small by now. But if you even look back to like the Happy Pear,
yeah.
years ago, like when they were like just kind of building, they were so, so present on social media. Like mm. every single day, Dave and Steve were coming on from like 4:30 or 5:00 in the morning. And they were bringing you with them through every single part of their day. And people were hooked, like.
Yeah.
And I feel like social media has been instrumental in their success and in like telling
Definitely.
Their story and in building their brand and their business.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when you look at stories like that, you realize how powerful social media can be. So while it's definitely daunting, I think it has to be part and parcel of business life now.
Has to be. Yeah.
If you're not willing as an individual in a business to kind of take it on, then you need somebody there who is willing to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And even if you're a small business owner and, you know, maybe you don't enjoy it, maybe you have a sister or a brother or a daughter or a son who might enjoy doing a little bit of work for you. I just think it's important that it forms part and parcel of work life now. Like if you were to even look at, do you know, like if I want to go for food now,
mm-hmm.
and I hear about a place, I'll go onto their Instagram before I look them up on Google.
Yeah, same.
Because I want to see the pictures, like mm-hmm. I want to be drawn into to what's available.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with everything. Like if I was to go like furniture shopping now, I'd go onto their Instagram page and see what's there and see their tagged photos. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's nearly people's first port of call now,
yeah.
rather than like an afterthought. So yeah, I feel like most people are getting on, you know, are getting on board. I feel like it's definitely outside of a lot of people's comfort zone, so it's amazing to see them push themselves, you know, a little bit further. But yeah. Yeah, I just think it's really necessary now. There's no way around it.
Yeah, 100%. Your recipes, they're always made from locally sourced fresh Irish produce. Is that a main factor for you in everything that you make?
Definitely, yeah. I would say 85% it is, and, right. I'll tell you why. So like I'm very lucky to have worked with some amazing Irish food brands, but I also believe that you can get quality ingredients at a low cost as well.
Yeah.
So like that's important for those with less dispensable income, or for those feeding larger families. And like for me, the root of what I do is helping people to home cook where possible and to make good food choices. And sometimes people can feel as if certain ingredients have to be a certain price to be quality, when like that isn't always the case. So like Aldi have amazing fresh produce at a great cost price, and I think it's important for people to know and to realize that as well. Like home cooking, healthy cooking and baking can be done on a tight budget, so really people have no excuse. But I'm obsessed with farmers markets. I'm obsessed with locally sourced fresh Irish produce, as you say. Mm-hmm. Like the girls will always laugh at me because I will often plan my day around a farmer's market. Like I will visit a particular place to go to the market and to stock up on great produce. I would even go as far as saying it's the highlight of my weekend, to be honest. I love farmers markets for that, like the availability of great crop produce. That's all, you know, really locally produced. But I would also say that a lot of what I do is trying to empower people to home cook and to make healthier food choices. And you can do that by going to Aldi, you can do that by going to Lidl, and you can do that by shopping really smartly in Tesco, Super Value and Centra as well. So yeah, I would say 85% I'm gung-ho on local produce, but then there's 15% of me that says, no, you know, you can do what you need to do on a really tight budget as well.
Yeah, 100%. I actually miss, Aldi over here isn't the same, but like, I always, like, sure, when I was in UL, I think everyone kind of went to Aldi, really, but I used to love, the food was so good from Aldi, such good value and everything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think even, like, they have done a lot of work, you could say even at grassroots level as well now. Like, you know, they do that program whereby they choose a couple of different small businesses and they get their products on shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Grow with Aldi is actually the name of it.
Right.
So you're still getting that whole vibe, like you're still getting that locally sourced fresh Irish produce put on Aldi shelves. So yeah, I just think that they're, you know, they're kind of upping their game as well. Like they're making this great produce available on a wider scale at a lower cost, which is fantastic as well.
Mm-hmm. So have you always had a good relationship with food, would you say, and fitness as well?
So for many years of my life, I would have had a really, really positive relationship. And I think when I hit, it was in leaving cert, I would say, that would have changed a little bit for me. So I always loved school, I loved studying, and I would have always set very high standards for myself and for my work, right? So when the Leaving Cert came around, I probably started to put a lot of pressure on myself to get really high points, like to be perfect. Like there's probably an element of like perfectionism there as well. And so at that point then, I stepped aside from football, camogie, from soccer, in the March of my Leaving Cert year. And I would say, like, you can imagine now, so I was going from training 7 days a week, literally like seeing the girls all the time, like so much movement, obviously, like I was feeling great mentally as well. And I went from that to no movement at all, like no activity, no crack during the week with the girls at training, no games over the weekend. And like that would have had a really bad impact on me. And it's only years later that I can realize the impact that it did have.
Mm.
And so in my Leaving Cert year, I would have stopped training. And as a result as well, I suppose there was an awful lot of stuff going on. Like I was in a new relationship and I was very stressed due to studying my Leaving Cert. And I started to lose quite a bit of weight and I would have gone very thin during my Leaving Cert. And it's something that's not really spoken about all that much, I think, in general, is the stress that, you know, kids can undergo. And they are, like, that's all I was a kid. I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The stress you can go through during the Leaving Cert, like, it's a terrible time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And as a result of losing the weight, though, like, I had always been fairly chunky, like, strong. Like, I would say that I was big boned. Like, Nanny would have always said, "You're so fine, strong girl." So like
such a Nana thing to say,
isn't it? Literally, like, and you're like, okay, call me fat Nana, why don't you? But anyway, so like for me at that point when I'd lost the weight during the Leaving Cert, like it happened for the wrong reasons, but I also was like, oh my God, Roberta, you're skinny. And it was the first time ever in life that I was skinny. And as a teenage girl, it's changing nowadays, the narrative is changing, but that's all I ever wanted to be as a teenage girl, was to be skinny. And now I had it, like I was there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like I made this subconscious decision that I wasn't going back, like that I was going to stay like this. I was going staying skinny in no matter what it took. So I would say that I saw a huge change in my relationship with food and fitness from my Leaving Cert year as a result of that. You know, training, when I went back after the Leaving Cert, training was now about running the crap out of myself and not fueling properly before training so that I'd wake up the next day and I'd be skinny. You know, I wanted to feel that flatness in my tummy, like almost that malnourished feeling of being like, oh God, like I feel teeny today.
Yeah.
And like, so my relationship with sport and with movement really started to change. And in a negative way. And I think that's where it started. It was like kind of using activity or using training almost as a punishment or almost as a way to lose weight and to see what my body was made of and to see how far I could take things without it being fueled properly.
Mm.
And, you know, that started to progress in a negative sense. And it started to then have an impact on my food, I would say. So I did actually suffer from an eating disorder for a couple of years. So I would say from my Leaving Cert right through to college until actually fourth year of college, I would have suffered with bulimia. And like, I haven't really opened up about it before, but I think it's lovely to be at a point now where I can look back and say it's all in the past. And like, I have an amazing relationship with food and myself now. And it's funny because I have a better relationship with myself now and with food than I've had ever in my life.
Yeah.
So like, even up to the point of my Leaving Cert when I was 16 years old, like even though I was really healthy, I was in a really good place mentally, I had a really good childhood, there was still a part of me that always longed to be skinny because I was the bigger girl.
Yeah.
And now like I'm at that point in my life where I see food as fuel, I love working with it. I enjoy food for, you know, the cultural aspect. I enjoy food for what it can do in bringing a group of people together. And I suppose it's funny because I look forward now, like I open up definitely way more about it now because I feel like there needs to be that soundboard. Like I think eating disorders are something that's shied away from quite a lot. Like while I do see a lot of people opening up about, you know, depression and anxiety and different forms of mental health, I would say that still eating disorders have been pushed under the carpet. And I think that kind of stems to me. I've had quite a lot of time to think about that and ask myself, you know, why is that? Like, why didn't I feel comfortable talking about it for so long?
Yeah.
And I think it was because, this is what I've concluded, is that eating disorders bring with them a title. And in Ireland, we're very fast to give a title to people.
Yeah.
So one day you're Roberta, and the next day you're the girl with the eating disorder.
Yeah.
And I think I didn't want that title. Like for so long, I was Roberta the bubbly one. I was Roberta a footballer, Roberta, the camogie player, all really, really positive titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that to change. I didn't want to be now Roberta, the girl with the eating disorder, Roberta, the one suffering from bulimia. And like, no more than yourself, you know how fast we can be as a nation. Even though I love Ireland, I love our people, it's something that we constantly gravitate back towards, is giving titles to people.
100%.
So like, do you know what I mean? And I think when you're suffering from something like an eating disorder, or from, you know, depression, anxiety, whatever it might be, I think that is like your worst nightmare, is having to deal with this, plus deal with your whole like your whole persona to other people, like that's being distorted as well. So I think for so long I wanted to shield myself from having that title.
I completely agree with you about the title thing, because I remember when I talked first about like my mental health ages ago, before I had talked about it, I was so nervous to talk about it, because I felt like I was going to be, because I was known as same as yourself, like as a bubbly person, a positive person. Like I remember, I talked about this in one of my other podcasts, but I remember one time my friends, like it was just, we were talking about how would you describe each other, whatever. I remember one of the words they called me was positive. And I remember thinking, now if I talk about this, or if I tell people that I, you know, get depressed and all this, that I'm going to be defined as that. Like, do you know, if I let people know how down I get, that that's all they're going to think of me now. I'm no longer going to be Aislinn. I'm going to be this depressed girl or something, you know? So I definitely get, I don't think that now. And obviously you don't think that now either, but it is something that you would 100% have in your head, because it's an Irish thing.
It's funny because, you know, when you say that, like people would have said that as well about me, that they would still say about, like, I always try to look on the brighter side. I'm just like, look, life is short. Are we lucky that we have our health at the end of the day? And it's always what I put it down to.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when you go through things like illnesses or grievances or losses in the family, you actually realize that the fact that you were worrying about, you know, a missed flight there a couple of weeks ago, just puts like things like that, the, mm-hmm. the small things that we sweat in life, it just puts everything into perspective. But I think it's funny that you say that, you know, people would have said that you were positive as well, because I feel like it's always the person who's the strongest in the room, or who's the most positive, or seems to be the most positive, that they're the ones that probably need the most support.
Yeah.
You know, that there's probably something a little bit further under their shell that, you know, if they're given the opportunity, that you can peel it back, but it can be very, very difficult to break down that person, because again, they feel like they have to live up to that persona. They have to be the positive, the uplifting one. Like they have to bring everybody else along with them. And I think that was kind of something that I struggled with as well. Like my family would have always seen me as really independent, did my own thing. I was very strong. I loved to study. You know, I pushed myself really hard to be the best that I could be at anything that I put my hand to. And I still would be that way.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody like that to now be in a very vulnerable position, like having an eating disorder, like really struggling with thoughts, struggling with my relationship with myself, struggling with my control around food, that was a very difficult period. Like to go from being the person that people relied on to being the person that was now most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably an aspect of everything that I've been through that I hated the most, was being that vulnerable person, being the person that people worried about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
definitely, yeah.
I think though, like having been through all of that now, like I couldn't be happier. Like I couldn't have a better relationship. I'm very thankful, and I will say that. I know that a lot of people struggle for many, many years with eating disorders, and it's not something that people can come out of as easily as I did. And when I say as easily as I did, I'm not just going to say that I clicked my fingers and I was perfect today. Like I didn't just wake up and everything was rosy.
Yeah.
Like I worked damn bloody hard to get back to the point that I'm at now. Like a place where food is literally like my, like I love it. Like I have the healthiest relationship with food and with myself. But like that didn't happen overnight. I pushed myself through barriers. Like the refeeding process of, like, you know, having to have certain amount of calories daily, like that was incredibly difficult. But ultimately now, like, I'm at a much better place than I've ever been and I will ever, like, you know, this is the best that I've ever felt about myself. And I feel very grateful to have been able to come back to this point and to say that, you know, that's all in the past now. But I feel like I wanted to speak about it as well for a lengthy period of time. And there was a part of me wondering, you know, will I do a blog post on this? Will I get my words down on paper? But like, there's only so much that you can say on paper. Like, yeah. As in, I feel like it's nice to have more of a platform like this where you can openly speak and try to get how you were actually feeling at a time across.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I feel like I could put pen to paper and be there 4 hours later and be like, no, I still can't just pinpoint the emotions that I want to, you know? So, I think it's nice to be able to be given a platform like this to speak about it and to speak about it openly. But know that when I am talking about it, that it's in the past. Mm-hmm. And I feel very grateful and very fortunate that that is the case for me.
I think it's so important to talk about it, though, because as you said yourself, it is just something, and I don't really know why we don't talk about it that much, because I think it would be hard to find a female that hasn't had, and not so much like an eating disorder. Obviously, there's a lot of that, but it'd be hard to find a woman that doesn't have a negative or has at some point had a negative relationship with food, because like I know
I
definitely had in the past. Like, I mean, more so, not so much now. I think I have a better relationship with food now, but it's a constant battle. And I think it's the same with everyone. Like, you know, all my friends, you're constantly like, we're constantly talking about, oh, I shouldn't have ate that, or I feel fat or whatever. You know, that's a constant conversation with any girl that I ever come across, ever, you know, in any,
yeah,
outside of my own friends, like, you know, girls I meet at work, it's a constant thing. So it's just something that should be talked about more.
Yeah, like an awful lot of what we're seeing as well nowadays is like this whole cycle, like, of kind of binge eating and restricting as well. And I feel like it's just got to be the norm where like people are in this Monday to Friday mindset and then they just like go full gung-ho Saturday and Sunday,
mm-hmm,
wake up on Monday feeling absolutely crap, and mm-hmm, then the restriction starts again. And like, that's a trend that I've seen, especially with people over the past couple of years, that to me is a little bit worrying, because I'm like, sometimes you can go beyond that then and like the restriction and the binging like becomes way too excessive.
Yeah.
And I think that if, you know, and even just with conversations that I've had with like friends, with family members, like cousins, for a lot of people, like a lot of their day and a lot of what they do and a lot of their choices revolve around food.
Mm-hmm.
Revolve around how they look. Like, yeah, a lot of people that I know would go to the gym to be skinny, to, yeah, lose weight. It's not to build strength and get stronger. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would food prep to be skinny, mm-hmm, not to eat bright foods, not to stay fueled. It's to be skinny. And yeah, it always just falls back to be skinny or to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we could try to change that narrative even just a little bit around, you know, that you should be food prepping, you should be going to the gym, you should be doing all these things to feel good about yourself, to, yeah, feel at your best. Yeah, so I think if we can just start to kind of change that narrative a little bit more, and I'm not sure how we'll do it, but mm-hmm, I know that there's a lot of people, you know, doing good work on Instagram. So I think if it can be more of that good stuff on Instagram, more of that, you know, seafood as fuel, you know, see it as energy, see it as what we need it to be, then I think we'll be going down the right track.
Yeah, because it's so hard to maintain as well, that whole constantly trying to lose weight and eating low calorie things. Like, if you're just, I have found anyway that I just, since I've had a better, not a relationship with food that I want to, like, I still want to improve on my relationship with food, but compared to what it was anyway, I know that now I just try to have a healthier lifestyle, I suppose, and have a healthier diet rather than always focusing on low calorie, and that's too much, and how many calories I'm eating in a day, you know?
Yeah,
and it's too hard to maintain.
Like, for a lot of people as well, it's not so much the relationship with food. I feel like, because especially for me, like, what my eating disorder boiled down to would have been around control, and
right,
I was probably going through other things in my life at that point as well that were very stressful, that were taking their toll on me. And they appeared then in the form of an eating disorder, which was interesting. So for a lot of people, and not a lot of people, but for some people, it's more so about, you know, if you find that you binge eat constantly, or you find that, you know, you can be restricting calories a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time it's because you're unhappy in another area of your life, and it's kind of coming to the fore with food.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for a lot of people, it's about, you know, sitting down and saying, what am I actually unhappy about? You know, what aspects of my life do I feel like I really need to work on?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about getting that rounded picture, you know, that full flower is what I like to say, is like, you know, that each part of your life is like a different petal on the flower.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put all of your energy, if you put all of your eggs in one basket, pardon the pun, then, you know, you're not meeting, it's not becoming that full flower. It's not seeing that whole rounded approach. So I think if you can just take a moment, like for anybody to be like, you know, what aspects do I want to work on the most? You'll get this fuller bodied life. You know, you'll get this full happiness that you haven't had probably in quite some time. So I think it's about trying to, instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, just really trying to focus in on for all aspects of life, you know, trying to work on your relationships with people, you know, spending time with family and friends, having that social life, you know, going out for a couple of drinks over the weekend, enjoying your food, but making sure that you're staying active, you're getting your steps in, you know, that you're taking time to switch off and zone off, put your phone away, do some reading. Mm-hmm. It's about trying to, you know, have a full picture instead of just putting, you know, just focusing in on one or two aspects, because that's when the issue starts to occur.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say was the turning point for you? Like, how did you get to where you are now in terms of getting away from bulimia?
I would say that where I was dealing with eating disorder by myself for quite some time. Again, I didn't want that title. I didn't want anybody to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit rock bottom. Like there's no like denying that. I hit absolute rock bottom, and there was one person that I really trusted with my life, that I opened up to.
Mm-hmm.
I told them what was going on, and that person, like, couldn't have reacted any better than what they did. They said all the right things, told me to do the things that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. So, the person actually didn't know what bulimia was. So I explained, you know, what I was doing to myself, what bulimia was, what I was living with daily. Obviously, they were taken aback at the time, but they were so, so, so supportive and really methodical, I would say, in their approach. So the first thing, like, they would have been very sympathetic towards my situation. Sorry to hear that you're going through this. But ultimately, before I left their house that night, they made me promise that I was going to tell my mother.
Right.
So this person meant a lot to me. I was, you know, there was no way that I was going to make a promise and then break it. So mm-hmm. by making that promise to this person, saying, you know, that's fine, I'll tell my mom when I go home, there was no other option. I was telling my mom. So I went home on a particular evening. This would have been in fourth year of college, the start of fourth year-ish. And it was late when I got home, and Mam was still up. And, like, Ashton, I was numb at this point now. Like, I was, like, fully emotionless. So even when I told that person what I was going through, like, I don't think I even shed a tear. Like, mm-hmm. it was just like, this is what's happening. This is what I'm going through. I don't know what to do anymore. And I remember I went home and I told Mam. And I think, like, Mam was bawling, crying, like, but I also feel like it was a weight off her shoulders. I feel like she had seen some signs on mm-hmm. the run up to this. So just to put in perspective, Mam is a nurse. You know, she probably would have worked with different people in her lifetime that would have suffered from eating disorders.
Yeah.
She would have friends that would work in that line of work as well.
Mm.
So I would say to her, there was a couple of signs, but obviously you don't want to believe it as well. You want to think that your daughter is perfectly healthy and happy. You don't want to believe that this is true. So you'll probably try to tell yourself that it's not.
Mm.
So I think for her at that point, it was nearly a little bit of relief that I was opening up, that I was telling her that this was what I was going through. And that particular evening, then that night, she asked me if she could tell one of my sisters, Emer, who was living at home at the time and who was off kind of, so she's a primary teacher, and so she would have been off early during the day, or she would have been off, you know, for different midterms and stuff. And basically, ma'am just wanted to say, like, look, I'm going to be gone from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. And, you know, if you're home for college holidays or if you're home over the weekend and things like that, she was like, I can't be here all the time. And she's like, I want to support you as much as I can. So she asked if we could tell Emer, and I said, yeah. Like, again, I was numb. I was like, yeah, perfect, fine. It didn't affect me. Like, I had no emotion towards it. I wasn't sad. I wasn't happy. I was nothing. Mm. And so we called Emer into the room that night and told her what was going on. And again, like, Emer was so supportive, really sympathetic towards my situation, and like really uplifting, being like, that's perfect. You know, whenever you're feeling as if you're going to binge, or if you're feeling like you've had a binge and that you're going to like stick your fingers back your throat and make yourself sick, she was like, you know, you need to tell me. And then we opened up, like, there was a great dialogue, there was a great conversation about, you know, what I was doing, like, what were my habits, what were the routines that I was after falling into now. And then it was a chance for Mam and Emer to say, right, well, then these are the signs that we need to look for. So, like, to Mam, it was like she just wanted Emer or herself to be able to say, Roberta is not feeling good at this particular point in time. Her mood is low. Let's go for a long walk over the road and, you know, let's try to take her mind off things and let's, you know, get some steps in, get some fresh air in. So that was the start. Like, that was how it all started. I hit rock bottom, told a friend that I trusted, then that person made me tell Mam and then Emer. And from there, Mam would have reached out to one of her friends in work who is a psychologist and just asked, you know, do you know anybody who would, you know, work in the line of eating disorders? And she gave her the number of, she's either American or Canadian, but she's based out of Cork. And like, it's so funny, Ashlyn, because Dad must have thought that myself and Mam had a shopping disorder, like literally like a shopping problem, because we were going every single week. Like, we were going up every single week to Cork, like pretend to be happy out, the two of us traveling up in the car, like saying bye Dad, whatever. And it was none the wiser, do you know what I mean? Right. So like, it's so funny how much you have to actually keep from your family when you're going through this. And I chose to do that. I didn't want to tell Dad. Like, Dad is older, like there's 13 years between Mam and Dad, so even something like an eating disorder is just, it wasn't part and parcel of his generation. Like, so right. I feel like it would be quite taxing on him to try to come to some sort of a conclusion as to why this was happening his daughter. So we chose just to leave it aside, not to tell him. But she asked, we were off on our shopping trips long up the park, and for so long, like, I feel like, you know, nothing was helping. Like, I was just going up telling this lady my feelings week on week. I would start crying on some occasions. But I just, there was a lot, like, there was a part of me that would come away and like hop back into the car to Mam, and she'd be like, well, how do you get on? I'd be like, yeah, grand. But that was it. Like, I'd just say, yeah, grand. I wouldn't open up at all. But to me, that's all that was happening. I was just getting on fine. Like, there was no part of me that felt like I was getting better. Like, I was still making myself sick. I was still really down in the dumps. So I was still having to put on this big facade to people to say that everything was fine. And then it's funny, because I'd say just a couple of months in, it's like things just started to happen a little bit better for me. It's like I started to, just things kind of fell into place. Like, I started to feel a little bit lighter on my feet. I started to feel a little bit happier, more energetic. I felt like there were more good days than bad. I felt like I was, you know, while I was still binging and purging, it wasn't happening as often. There was these small wins, I would say. And those small wins just started to like continually accumulate. I met Fergal then as well. Well, like, we were all was friends, but we got together, I would say, properly in it was March of fourth year, and like that definitely just like turned everything upside down on its head, like in the right way. So everything was turned upside down in the most negative way, and now it's like he came along and just, I was the happiest, and I still am the happiest that I've ever been. So he was a massive part of the picture as well, in terms of bringing life back into me, you know. getting giddy again, being happy again, looking forward to seeing him, looking forward to doing things, because they were the thing, like, I hadn't really looked forward to doing anything. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't look forward to going out for a meal. I wouldn't look forward to going out for drinks, because it all just stemmed back to, was I going to look skinny? Was I going to have to eat calories? Like, do you know, there was no enjoyment in anything that I did anymore. So then I just think that I worked really hard within, like, the refeeding process and stuff as well, in terms of I pushed myself to have a breakfast, I pushed myself to have a lunch, to have a dinner, which was really challenging, but I made myself do it nonetheless. So, like, that's what I would say to a lot of people, is that it's not an easy journey. Like, there's going to be so many weeks and days where you honestly just want to give up, but, like, just keep pushing through, keep going, keep going, keep going,
yeah.
And your day will come. And, like, I couldn't be happier now that I did work as hard as I did, and that I did push myself to limits, that I did push myself on days where I just didn't want to push.
Yeah.
And yeah, it all, look, it was little wins. They all accumulated to become what it is today, like, yeah. At a position where I can look back and say, like, I haven't had an eating disorder, like, I'm fully recovered with the past 4 years. Which to me, like, if any, it's funny because I'm like, if I ever had a job interview now and somebody said, what's your biggest accomplishment? Like, I wouldn't tell them this. But I'm like, deep down, that is my biggest accomplishment, is actually being able to come out the other side of an eating disorder, because it was a challenging time.
100%.
But yeah, all I'd say is to anybody who, you know, who might feel like they have a distorted relationship with themselves or food or body image or whatever it might be, is just to feel it out. Get help if you need it. There's no shame in it. Chat to somebody. Reach out to somebody who might have been there before. Like, everybody's scenario and situation is different. But even, like, if somebody's listening to this, whatever, next week, whenever it's out, mm-hmm. and they feel like, you know, they feel like, you know, they're suffering from bulimia and anorexia, or like they have a really distorted relationship with themselves or with food, like, then reach out to me. Sometimes you just need somebody who's been there and who's done that,
yeah.
and they can point you in the right direction. So yeah, like, I'm very grateful, obviously, that I pushed through and that I took the steps that I did. And ultimately it's led me to where I am now, like, very happy, very healthy.
Yeah, you've done a complete 180, really. Like, you're absolutely flying it.
Completely.
No, it's unreal, and it's so good for you to be talking about it, especially because you're at the other side of it now. So anybody that's listening that is probably maybe in the middle of it or feels like they're never going to get to the other side, you know, mm-hmm. they can look at you and know that it is definitely possible, not without obviously hard work, but it is possible, like, fair play to you for talking about it, because obviously, like, not many people do. So to move on from that, I suppose I'll just touch on what a lighter question, I suppose. What are your top three favorite healthy sweet treats and savory meals to make?
Okay, so savory to begin with, like, I'm obsessed with curry. Like, I love good curry. So I would say a Thai green curry, mm-hmm. or like a maximum curry. I'm obsessed with, like, the hotter, the spicier, the better. Like, I love that feeling or that sensation of, do you know when your lips are burning? Literally, that is my dream. So I love a good curry. I also love, like, a really good solid sandwich, like a BLT or something like that. Mm-hmm. I equally love, like, fish cakes, like, just a nice crispy exterior, nice fluffy inside. Mm. So I would say, yeah, a good curry, a good decent sandwich, or fish cakes.
Okay. And your sweet treats?
And then the sweet side of things, I love Powerballs. Like, sure, I'm literally Roberta Powerball Harrington now at this point. You see them on my stove every day. So I love Powerballs. I think it's a nice way to play around with flavors as well. So Powerballs, number one. Number two, dark chocolate. So, like, 70-75% cacao. Like, that is a dream. Cup of tea in hand. Like, well. And then on the sweet side of things as well, for, like, breakfast or brunch, I love pancakes. Just loaded with lots of different toppings, nut butter, yogurt, fresh berries, or, like, caramelized bananas, a couple of chocolate chips, just the works. Like, that is, that's a bit of me. What are your favorites?
I was actually just going to say that I love a caramel square, right? Unhealthy or healthy, but the ones that you made, like, your recipe, me and Dennis made them ages ago. When you first, I'd say it was when me and him started getting together, and around the time that you started putting up your recipes, that we made them. And I was like, these are Unreal. Like, because, great. Like, you know, unhealthy ones are so, you know, you just wouldn't expect the healthy ones to taste just as good as the healthy ones, like, but they're amazing. Yeah. And then, what were the other ones that I made? Then the, your mint, I love mint chocolate. So the mint chocolate, you made them with quinoa. I don't know what the names of them are, but they're kind of like power balls, but you have quinoa
them as well.
But I'd be the same as you anyway in the savory. I love a curry. Sandwiches, you just can't beat. Like an open chicken sandwich or just any chicken salad sandwich is mine. And then roast dinner.
I'm just laughing because everyone that's listening now is literally going to be salivating, being like, right, well, I wasn't hungry. But yeah.
I know, yeah. And I still have to eat my dinner, so I'm like, what am I going to have now? Back to your members area. You were talking about that earlier. What can you enjoy from it and how much does it cost if people want to get involved in it?
Of course, yeah. So there is it's a brand new members area on the website. Mm-hmm. You can get lifetime membership for just $9.99 and it's updated weekly. So there's a whole range of recipes on there, some of which you'll find on my social media, but there's also a lot of exclusive recipes up there. And it's updated weekly. So like even recipes like the chocolate fudge sauce that everyone was going mad for the Christmas hampers, that's up there and it will never appear on my social media. You know, there's lots of different nuggets like that that are very exclusive to members. So there's also like there's different areas. There's a From Bobby with Love area, which is just kind of personal blog posts, and I would touch on even my favorite places to eat, things to do, you know, days out, nights away, things like that. It's a chance for me just to kind of like talk about things other than food as well, and other than you know, other than food and yoga. And so there's a From Bobby with Love area. There's also a yoga content part or aspect, I suppose, and I would do a breakdown of lots of different yoga postures. So for me, it's important as a yoga teacher, like alignment is something that I would focus on quite a lot. So it's important that, you know, people feel empowered to have a confident practice. So you know, you're only as confident as strong as your postures are. So basically, if you are getting into, if you said downward facing dog, a lot of people are afraid to get into the posture because they don't know how to do it correctly. So I would break down each one of the postures, how to get into it from a particular, you know, standing position or whatever it might be. And then some challenges that you could maybe enjoy and test yourself on the mat with. And the final area then within the members area then is the guest aspect. So just touched base very recently with a couple of well-known faces who were going to talk about, you know, things like skincare, makeup, different things like that, which I'm really excited about. So there definitely is something there for everybody. So whether you're there for the food, for the yoga, for places to eat, for a little bit of adventure, there is something for everyone there.
And your yoga classes, are they live or are they pre-recorded? Or are they both?
So a little bit of both, right? So they are actually all live. All of the classes will be live, but you can choose to get the recording then after the class, which a lot of people would opt to do. So say, for example, I do power yoga on a Monday evening at 6:45. Mm-hmm. And it's a half hour class. But obviously for a lot of people, they might have football training, you know, they might have something on the Monday evening. So they can still sign up to the class. I'll send them along the recording and they can take that recording at any stage then during the week. There's the live element and the recording as well. And they're all half hour classes. But I would work quite a bit with sports teams as well. So that would take up quite a lot of my evenings, is just working with sports teams by Zoom. So we do generally on 40 minute classes as well then, and it's kind of sports yoga. It's very matter of fact yoga. To me, it's less about breath work. It's less about the meditative side of it. It's more about, you know, increasing your range of motion, increasing your flexibility, and working towards injury prevention. So yeah, I love working with sports teams as well. I generally would do like a 4 or 6 week block with a sports team and then go on to the next one. So it's you know, no two is the same. I really enjoy the vinyasa and happy yoga, but I love the sports side as well.
Unreal. I kind of asked that as well for myself because I want to get into yoga. My mom's telling me to get into yoga because I have a bulging disc in my back, so I can't really do much. My back is kind of crippled, so I need to get into yoga, maybe even Pilates or something like that to kind of relieve some pain and to work on my core and all that. So the pre-recorded classes would be brilliant for me. So I'm kind of coming to the end of it now. So one of my final questions for you is, what are your plans for the future and what are your long-term goals for Shop Bobby? Or do you hate that question?
There's a part of me that, like, I enjoy it. Sometimes, like, for so long, I was always that person that, like, was a planner. I had to have a plan. Like, I had to know where I was going, what I was doing. And I think in the last couple of years, like, I've been living way more presently. So I definitely don't have a set plan in place. And I think whatever plan that was in place is now just gone out the door because of COVID. I'm not even going to lie. I still have no set plan in terms of what I want to do with the business. Something that I know that I love doing is working with brands and creating recipes for brands.
Yeah.
So maybe it might be something that I'll tap into a little bit more in the future. On a personal level, like, to me, I just want to be healthy and happy into the future. And I know you're just probably like, no, like, give me something else. But that is essentially, I think, having been through the mill, having been at a time in life where I was neither of those things, healthy or happy.
Yeah.
I think it's just definitely a long-term goal for me now at this point, is to remain healthy, remain happy, remain energized, and just have that flair for life, and because it's back. I would love to write a cookbook.
That's so funny. I was just going to ask you that when you were talking about your recipes earlier. I was going to say it, but I said I'd wait till the end. You should definitely do a cookbook.
So maybe. Like, obviously, there's a whole range of, like, ebooks circulating online as well. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but I love the idea of, like, the hardback. You go into the shop, buy the book, and there it is. But, again, like, there's no pressure on me. There's I'm not putting any timelines on any of these things. I'm very much living presently, just enjoying day by day. Like, the thing is, as well, is that, like, social media or the online world is very fast paced as well, and like opportunities come your way that you could never envisage. Like, I remember one day just getting out, I was actually in Aldi doing shopping, and I got a message from a lady in Ballinglou, and she was looking for my email address asking if I'd like to create recipes for their website. And like, that was me literally on a weekday in Aldi. Like, I could never have envisaged that I was going to get that message, or you constantly get that kind of message now from like wonderful Irish brands, you know, asking if they could send you out some stuff, that they'd love you to create a recipe with it, whatever it might be. So I'm like, I'm just trying to like have some sort of plan in place, a little plan maybe, but not too much so that I can't embrace and enjoy the things that kind of come last minute or come very sporadically.
Unreal. Oh my God, I'd love for you to bring out a cookbook. I think it'd be unreal. So you could definitely do that. Then my last question for you is, will you be expanding your delivery service nationwide? Because I'd say lots of people would like it if you did that.
In short, possibly. If I hire and if I move to commercial space, yes. But in short, possibly.
Because I've always wanted... I was thinking of ideas for something to send my mom there Mother's Day or something like that. Maybe it was her birthday. And I'd love, you know, it's just a good idea to buy your kind of, like, my mom would love your kind of food, but...
So definitely, I would even like, because things like that, hampers now, or birthday hampers or gifts and stuff, I would do, you know, quite a lot of hampers or just like gift bags up here of stuff with food. And to me, the issue is around like delivery and postage. So a lot of what I do, like say Snickers bars and things like that, the people like just, I can't make enough of them. Mm-hmm. Like they all need to be in the fridge overnight. Yeah. So I can't post them. So there's a lot of different parts of my food that need to be refrigerated, which is annoying in some parts, but it's the way that it is. I'll see. I'll put pen to paper in a little while. I'm going to enjoy the summer as much as possible while things are open, and put pen to paper in a little while and see where we go from there.
Yeah, no pressure. At least you know the demand is there anyway. That's a great thing, you know.
Exactly.
That's everything anyway, Roberta. All my questions are done, I think. Anyway, hold on, let me... I had one more question, actually. Sorry, there was one more question.
Oh, fresh.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to follow in similar footsteps to you and make a change in their career but is apprehensive about doing so?
So I would say work hard, back yourself, and trust the process.
Unreal. Very good. That is everything. So thank you so much. You're so well spoken.
Oh, God,
actually can't get over it.
Thank you. It's been lovely. You know, I actually, because this is only the second podcast that I've ever done, and I actually really enjoy them. It's funny. Maybe I just love the sound of my own voice. No, so it's been fabulous getting to chat to you and just even, you know, having the platform to speak openly about past experiences. And
Yeah.
hopefully, you know, some of what we spoke about today will help others who are listening,
Yeah, please
which is
God.
obviously really important as well. And
Yeah.
yeah, do you know if there is anybody listening who might see themselves on a slippery slope or going through a difficult period with themselves, you know, body image or whatever it might be, like touch base. Like I'm not going to have any answer for you, but what I will be able to do is to be a soundboard perhaps, or I
Yeah.
can perhaps give you a full rundown of how I got to the point at which I'm at today, and maybe it be a little bit of a glimmer of hope for you. Because often when you're stuck in a situation, you can feel like this is it, like this is what life is going to be like for the rest of it. But no, like work hard and it's not going to be like that. So yeah, it's been absolutely fabulous to chat to you. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you so much for coming on, and I'm delighted to have you on. So that is it for this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Roberta is so lovely, and I want to just say thanks again so much for chatting with me. I learned a lot from it and I took loads from it, and I hope that you do as well. And it was very brave of her to talk about her eating disorder, and I really hope that it has helped at least one person. And if obviously if you need any advice, she said it herself already, please don't hesitate in reaching out to Roberta. Even if you have any other questions outside of eating disorders or anything like that, if you've any questions at all, Roberta will be more than happy to answer them, whether it be changing careers, anything at all like that. I hope you took something from it in that sense, and feel free to message her. Anyways, hope you enjoyed, and I will see you in the next episode. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.